Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And what a lovely morning it is. Welcome to you all to the church today on this Father's Day and also the longest day of the year. So it's great to see you, and it's good to welcome those who are visitors, and we also welcome those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or week, for this, our family service. Let us worship God. We sing the hymn 522, 522, "The Church is Forever, God's People Are Praising." Our call to prayer comes from 1 Corinthians. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's garden. You are God's building. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather this new morning as your people to worship you. We praise you, for you are always at work in the world and in our lives. Wherever your people are praising, serving, learning and growing, you are there among them. We thank you for calling us to be co-workers in your service, sharing in your purposes and helping to make your love known. Lord God, we praise you for planting us in your garden where faith can grow and flourish. And we thank you for building us together as your church, where each person is valued and every gift is needed. Today, we thank you for all whose love, care and guidance have helped us grow in faith, remembering especially fathers and father figures on this Father's Day. Gracious God, we confess that we do not always use our hands, our words, and our lives in ways that please you. At times we are selfish instead of being kind, silent instead of offering encouragement, and focused on ourselves rather than helping others. Forgive us. Forgive us when we fail to share in the work Jesus began, and when we neglect our calling to be co-workers with him. Where our faith has become weak, strengthen it. Where our lives have become distracted, refocus them, and make us ready to live and share the good news. Generous God, as we worship you today, open our eyes to see what you are doing in our community and in your world. Open our hearts to your guidance, and open our hands to serve. Help us discover how your work can be done through us, so that others may know your love, your peace, and your joy. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came not to be served but to serve, and who makes us one family, teaching us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now, just one or two intimations to draw to your attention. There will be a further time of fellowship following the service today in the parish halls, and all who are able to come along will be very welcome indeed. It would be good to see you. The garden group will meet on Tuesday at the church at 1:30. St. Ninian's Primary School will hold their end of session service in the church on Friday at 10 o'clock. There'll be a picnic in the manse garden this coming Saturday from 2 to 5. Bring your own food and drink plus a chair. However, if it's raining, we won't have the picnic, but we'll hopefully have it some other time. I spent a wee bit working in the garden yesterday, so it's looking not too bad, but let's just hope that the weather will be okay on Saturday, because it would be good for us to be together. There'll be a time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel following the service next Sunday. If you would like someone prayed for, you can write their name on a tag or card and place it on the prayer tree or in the box in the McMichael Chapel. And alternatively, prayer requests can be submitted online. As has been said before, Jake will be participating in the Lake District Big Hike 2026 this coming Saturday, and I know that he has received many donations of money for Cancer Research UK, and is very, very grateful for that. But there's still time to donate if you would like to. You can put your money in an envelope and just mark it Jake, Big Hike 2026. I'm sure he'll be happy to receive money next Sunday, though by that stage you might be pretty exhausted. But we do wish you well, Jake, for the Lake District Big Hike 2026, and that is a most worthy cause. Every blessing on you. We're now going to hear God's word, and the first lesson today will be read by Lorraine, one of our Sunday club leaders.
The first reading this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 12 to 27, and that can be found on page 153 of the Pew Bible. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of his one spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots, but then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. This is what we proclaimed in word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body, refreshed and sustained at one fountain, his spirit, where we all come to drink. The old labels we once used to identify ourselves, labels like Jew or Greek, slave or free, are no longer useful. We need something larger, more comprehensive. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. A body isn't just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, "I'm not elegant like hand, embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to this body," would that make it so? If ear said, "I'm not beautiful like eye, transparent and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head," would you want to remove it from the body? If the body was all eye, how could it hear? If all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body right where he wanted it. But I also want you to think about how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. For no matter how significant you are, it is only because of what you are a part of. An enormous eye or a gigantic hand wouldn't be a body, but a monster. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine eye telling hand, "Get lost, I don't need you," or head telling foot, "You're fired, your job has been phased out"? As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lowest part, the more basic and therefore necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's part of your own body you are concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honour just as it is, without comparisons. If anything, you have more concern for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, would you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? The way God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into the exuberance. You are Christ's body. That's who you are. You must never forget this.
Thank you, Lorraine. That's an interesting reading from the Message version of the Bible, which is a version that I like very much. You are Christ's body. Don't forget that. Wise words. We sing the hymn 694, "Brother, sister, let me serve you, let me be as Christ to you." brought something along with me today. No prizes for guessing what this is. It's a toolbox. Now, I've got to admit, it's not a box that I use often, because those of you who know me well will know that do-it-yourself stuff's not really my forte. I prefer to get friends or other people in if any of that sort of thing needs to be done. However, I've got a question for you. There are different tools in this box, different items, and I wonder which is the most important. There is the hammer, there is a screwdriver, there is, among other things, a scraper, there is also a paintbrush, and dear knows how on earth this ended up in it, but a horseshoe with good luck on it. Which is the most important? Do you think any of these tools is more important than the other? What do you think? Hands up if you think one is more important than the other. Hands up if you think one's more important than the other. No one. Hands up if you think they're all important. Yes, I think they are, aren't they? Each one is important because each one has a specific task to do. The hammer is good for hammering nails into the wall, but I don't think this hammer would be any good for painting a wall, would it? Do you think that could be a wee bit messy? I think it could. And likewise, the paintbrush, very good for painting a wall, but I don't think you'd be able to screw furniture together with this paintbrush, would you? I thought I'd better have a paintbrush today because my dad was a painter. And it is Father's Day, so I'm remembering him today. Friends, each one of these tools is important. Each one has a function to perform. And that takes us to St. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. And in that letter, Paul spoke about the church, and he likened it to the human body. He spoke about the different parts that make up the human body. And I think Paul had a kind of sense of humour because he said, you know, imagine if the whole body was an eye. Well, what would that be like? You would certainly see everything without any problem if the whole body was to be an eye, but you wouldn't be able to do anything else. And likewise, if the whole body was an ear, well, you would hear anything. Maybe no need for hearing aids if the whole body were an ear, but you wouldn't be able to get around because we need our feet as well. And Paul's point was very simple and yet profound. Just as we need every part of our body to function fully and effectively, so within the church, the body of Christ, every one of us, though different, with different gifts, is needed in order for the church to fulfill its work and its calling in our communities and parishes and in the world. So think about the church today. We're all different, aren't we? We look different, and I think we're all brighter dressed today, aren't we? It's amazing what the sunshine does. And it's just lovely looking out and seeing all the different colours here this morning. We're all different. We look different and we have different gifts. Who would like to shout out what some of the gifts are that we have and that we need to use within the church? Anyone any ideas? Margaret?
Willing to help.
Willing to help. Willing to be involved. That can be in so many areas of the church's life and work, from arranging flowers like these beautiful flowers in the church today, or helping to serve tea or coffee or at the sound desk or to read the lesson. So a willingness to be involved. Very good. Anything else?
Outreach.
A willingness to look beyond ourselves. That's very important because Jesus said, you are the light of the world, not the light of the church. We are to be active out there in our parishes and communities and in the world. So outreach is very important. Anything else? Oh, Margaret, thank you. A willingness to listen to someone in trouble. Isn't that so important? You know, that hymn that we just sang there, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. I will be there for you. That is what we sang. And that's how it is to be within the church, the body of Christ. A willingness to be there and to listen. Thank you so much. Anything else? What about pray? And that's something that we can all do, isn't it? We can all pray. And there's something else I think is important, as well as listening and learning. It is to be welcoming. As our church, the body of Christ, we are to be a welcoming people, so that no matter who comes through the doors of our church buildings, no matter how they look or how they dress, no matter what they have done, as we sang in our first hymn, they are made to feel welcome. Very important. Now, sometimes we think, when we look at others, we say, well, I couldn't do that, or I couldn't do that. Friends, that's not what God asks of us. He doesn't ask us to be like someone else or to use the gifts that other people have been given. God, in His grace, asks us to be ourselves and to use the gifts that He has given to us. One body. Many parts, and you are the body of Christ, and every one of you, from the very youngest to the very oldest, is part of that body. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now, are you in the mood for some exercise? I love this next hymn, and you might remember there are some actions that we have during the chorus. So, when it comes to I am the church, we can have our thumb pointing in at ourselves. You are the church, just point at someone else. I know it's not nice to point at other folk, but it's all right within the church. It's all right within the church, because we are the body of Christ. And as we point to each other, we are affirming each other as members of Christ's body. So, I am the church, our thumbs in towards ourselves. You are the church, point at someone around us. We are the church together. You can hold hands with the person next to you if you want to, or just go like that. We are the church together. All who follow Jesus, just just hands out in front of you, all around the world, hands up above your head. Yes, we're the church together. Did you take all that in? Don't be afraid if you get it wrong. The main thing is you take part, because you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part to play. Let's worship God. Hymn 204, I am the church, you are the church. Well done. And now we'll hear our second reading from God's Word, and it will be read by John.
Thank you, Padre. I don't know, I'm quite exhausted after that. Our second reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, and I'll be reading verses 34 to 40. And if you wish to follow this, you can do so by looking at the New Testament on page 24 of our Revised English Bible, which is in your pews. Then the king will say to those on his right, You have my father's blessing. Come, take possession of the kingdom that has been ready for you since it was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me. Then the righteous will reply, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? A stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will answer, Truly, I tell you, anything you did for my brothers here, however insignificant, you did for me. Amen. May God bless to us these words from his reading.
Amen. I don't know how I followed that lovely rendition of I am the church, you are the church. And also build upon Gary's, I think the message of this day is to remember that no matter how small, how big, how strong or weak you feel, you are valuable as part of this church. So that's the core message. But in order to build a little more and make, you know, earn my paycheck, I'm going to continue on that a bit. And we're having this family service. You know, it's Father's Day today, so that's part of it. But also, it's the, you know, as we said, the longest day of the year, the beginning of summer. The kids are looking toward the end of that school term where they're looking for their summer. And as in the midst of that transitioning period from maybe one stage of school to the next, I imagine there is a lot on their minds. You know, maybe not the younger kids in early primary school. You're probably just thinking about how to spend your time from now until August to make the most of it and what to watch on Netflix or YouTube or whatever you're going to do with your time. But the older students, you know, in addition to thinking about what to do with their time and what to watch on Netflix and YouTube, they're also thinking about, you know, what is next in their lives, as a lot of us are also thinking about those things. But they're thinking about, you know, the results of the exams that they took not so long ago, perhaps, you know, waiting to see if they passed their national fours or fives or their highers, or perhaps even their advanced highers or university qualifications or all sorts of things. And they're understandably probably anxious about these things because their performance on those exams has a fairly large impact, as we all know, on what path their lives will take in the years to come. Because whatever career path they hope to pursue, whatever career path any of us hope to pursue, there are certain qualifications that need to be met. And this is perfectly reasonable. It's stressful, but it is reasonable, and it's good, in fact. And we've all probably been through this on some level or another, because whatever we do in life, there are qualifications to meet those things. Whether you're a farmer or a joiner or a carer or a lawyer or a doctor or a teacher or even a minister, there is a degree of training and education and learning that has to be pursued and certain levels of qualifications that must be completed before you can practice your given trade or your profession or vocation. For example, you know, how many teachers or former teachers do we have in the room? Just raise your hand if you are or were a teacher. Oh, we have a number of you. All right, so enough to a sample set. So what was the first, go back to the beginning, what was the first level of education you had to achieve to become a teacher? Go way back. Hires, even earlier, primary school, right? So you had to get through primary school, and then you had to get through secondary school, and you said hires. What happened after hires? That was it? You're just, I can hear some. Going back years ago. Yeah, you have to think way back. So after, and there's a different, I have some of our friends from America here who are teachers. What was the next level for you past high school in America? College. And then was there more beyond that? Teacher training. And then once you become a teacher, wherever you're from, are there more qualifications you can earn on top of that? I know there's some other teachers back there. So you can continue to get, you know, specialized training, whether it's in special ed or physical education or chemistry. So you continue to get these training levels as you go on. So how about, we'll think of another profession, healthcare. How many people in here are in the healthcare world in any fashion? Are there any? All right, oh, one, you're on the spot. Oh, a couple over here, doctors, nurses, carers, any of those things. So what are some parts of your training that you had to do to be in your health care. Yes, you have to pass exams even to get in, to begin that training. There's a level of qualification.
Your IQ.
Took your IQ. Whew. That's why I'm a minister, not a, no. And wow. And in 1963, they took your IQ to make sure you had what it took. Did everyone pass that level?
Well, the ones that were in my class.
The ones that were in your class, yes. So you imagine some people probably didn't make it over that bar, for better or for worse. Like, there's those qualifications that you have to go through to get to these professions, and we're grateful for that.
In other words, if you were in the Girl Guides, or in the Boy Scouts, or the Girl Guides, and a member of the local mountaineering club, and things like that, that all counted.
She said you had to prove that you liked people to be in the healthcare. I don't think they have that test anymore, but no, I mean, they did, and I think that's a good test to have. So there are all these qualifications, and you might ask, well, how about ministers? Are there qualifications there? I say, no, they just let anyone come up here and do that. No, I'm kidding. Believe it or not, we too have had to have many levels of qualifications to make sure that we're, you know, I always joke, they give a psychological evaluation when you go into this, and it's to make sure you're just crazy enough to make it over that bar and keep doing this work. But the idea is, nearly every profession or vocation in the world, there is a degree of training or qualification, right, that is needed. If you want to serve as a teacher, you have to be qualified. If you want to serve as a doctor or a carer, you have to be qualified. If you want to serve as a joiner or a chef or a fisherman or a minister or, you know, play in the World Cup, there is a certain level of qualification that you have to meet to do that profession. So the question for today is, you know, what about serving God? When we go into service in the church, to serve God, to serve in our community, are there qualifications that are needed to do that service? What do you think is needed to be qualified to serve God? Your silence is actually the right answer. That's well done. So, yeah, nothing, right? It's just willing hands and an open heart. So I have a few props up here to just help us think about what might be needed in order to serve God. And I'm going to put these things out here. We'll tie them together in a minute. So this is some tea, a lovely vanilla chai. I've got some Limsip. Hopefully no one needs that in here for cold and flu. It's good stuff during the winter months, but I thankfully, you know, haven't needed it in a while. Let's see. I've got a lovely scarf in most beautiful colors. So hopefully I'll wear this in happy, joyous occasion on Wednesday. And then a nice cap to go with it. It's a little too warm for that, but put that there. A can of chopped tomatoes. Can of Iron Brew, we'll put that there with the Scotland cap, and a pair of shoes. So all these things in some way are just helpful reminders, and I'll get to why, of what we need, or what qualifications, what do we need to have in order to be able to serve God and serve our neighbors. And they all tie to the Bible reading that was read just a moment ago. And that Bible reading, Jesus tells a story where it's kind of a parable where he's telling a story. When the kingdom, you know, comes to its fullness, the Son of God is on the throne, he'll invite his followers into that kingdom, into the reign of God, the family of God, saying, I was hungry and you gave me food. You know, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I think he's referring to water, but I took it a step up with the Iron Brew. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Cup of tea, that's, you know, we do that here, right? So, I was naked, and you gave me clothing. And I was sick, and you took care of me. So all these things are reminders of, you know, what are the qualifications to share what we have, to give what we have. And Christ says, for just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. It's a wonderful reminder that in each person we encounter, there is the image of God So every person we serve, every person we touch, every person we share with is Christ. And just as we do it to the least of these, we do it to him. So food, drink, welcome, clothing, comfort, and a visit. And I put these things out here because it's a reminder they're all fairly simple things. How many of us have food on our shelves at home? Somewhere, hopefully. And we have tea. Almost everyone has tea, right? Clothing, drinks, we all have these things. They're all things that everyone tends to have in some way. Some of us have a lot of these things, maybe too much, and myself included, need to take some of those clothes to the charity shop, but some of us might only have a little bit of those things. But the point of what Jesus is saying isn't how much or how little that we're able to give, but the point is that we welcome and care for one another in whatever way we can with whatever gifts that we have, just like Gary was saying, whether we're a hammer or a brush or a small horseshoe for a tiny, tiny horse. Whatever we have, whatever we can do, we can share those gifts and serve one another in need. And in doing that, we can serve Christ. So Jesus is telling us that we are all qualified to serve. There's no test, no IQ test, no bar we have to jump over, but we're all qualified to serve so long as we come with an open heart and willing hands and an open heart. So you might notice in the order of service that the title of this little all-age talk is God's Work, Our Hands. And my good friends from America here and from my former congregation will recognize that I didn't come up with that title on my own. But this was the motto of the Lutheran denomination that I came from, the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. You don't have to remember that. But this was the motto of that church. And I would say, that church body, just like our own, doesn't get everything right. Get a lot of things wrong, but that part I think they got very right, that little phrase, God's work, our hands. Because in that little phrase, we're reminded that the work of God in the world isn't usually done in some miraculous and supernatural way, but God's work in the world is done through each of us sharing what we have and sharing our gifts with our neighbors. It's a reminder that we all have a part to play, and even more so, we are all qualified to do the work of God as long as we show up with open hands and an open heart. It's so simple and so profound, and it's simple because it doesn't take any special qualifications. Everyone can do it. Everyone can participate, and it's profound because even the simplest act of giving, a cup of tea or can of iron brew, even the simplest act of charity, the simplest act of help, just showing up in those simple things, we're doing nothing less than the work of God. So whatever qualifications you possess and whatever way your paths might lead on the road ahead, may we all seek to live our lives with open hands and an open heart. May we all seek to love and serve our neighbors in whatever way we can, because in so doing, we are loving and serving the God who loves us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us sing together the hymn 360, Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the streets.
come before God.
Almost skipped right over the most important thing. We have Sunday Club prize giving time.
Thank you. So now we come to the Sunday Club prize giving, and I want first of all to say a big thank you to our Sunday Club leaders for their excellent work throughout the whole of this session. I saw some photographs on social media yesterday which indicated the children have had a great time learning and doing craft work. So a big thank you to our Sunday Club leaders. And now we come to the Sunday Club prize giving, and I would like to invite Jake to come forward if he would like to present these gifts. The first is for Michelle, I think up there. Here she comes, with a lovely hat on.
Lovely.
Up you come.
Congratulations.
Well done.
Well done.
Thank you. And there's another book here, a lovely book, The Smartest Giant in Town. And this is awarded to George Lehman. Do you know George?
I've met him, yeah.
There you go, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Abigail and the Career Day Catastrophe. Gosh, that sounds interesting, doesn't it? And this is for Caitlin Mackay.
Well done, Caitlin. Well done.
And the same book for Charlie Scogel.
Well done, Charlie.
And this is for Julie Lehman.
Well done, Julia.
I like the title of this one, The Breakfast Club Adventures, The Goblin's Revenge. That sounds interesting. And this is for Emmanuel Teal.
Well done, Emmanuel.
Well done. Here's another interesting title, Paws and Whiskers. There we are. And this is for Carla Mackay.
Well done, Carla.
And finally, here's a book with a title that's very relevant given our theme for today, How to Find Your Voice and Make a Difference. And that's what we're all called to do as members of the body of Christ. Andrew Teo.
Well done, well done.
Thank you. Thank you. So a big thank you again to the Sunday Club leaders and to all the children without whom we wouldn't have a Sunday Club. And we do hope and pray that you have a wonderful, enjoyable, restful and safe summer, and we look forward to seeing you back in August. And now Jake is going to lead us in our prayer of thanksgiving and intercession.
I knew we'd get there eventually. So. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you today that you have made us, called us your own, and given us every good gift so that we might share all that you are and all that we have with all people. We thank you for creating all people in your good and gracious image, and we ask that you would remind us always that how we care for one another and how we care for those in need is how we indeed care for you. As today we welcome the changing of the seasons from spring to summer, we give thanks for all the children in our midst and pray that they would have a safe and productive summer, that they would rest and be ready for a new school year. We thank you as well for all that is green and good in this world. We ask that you would give us courage and restraint that we might be good caretakers and stewards of all that you have made. And as the days now begin to shorten, make us always grateful for the moments and hours of our lives that we are blessed to spend in relationship with you and with one another. Also today, Lord, we pray for fathers and father figures here and everywhere, that they might be vessels of your compassion and your care. And Lord, we pray especially for all for whom this day is difficult or painful for any reason. We ask that you would enable all of us to develop healthy relationships that reflect the love that you have for all your children. And loving God, you break down the walls that divide us, yet we continue to construct new barriers that close off ourselves from others and others from ourselves. And we ask that you would be with all those who on this day feel lonely. We ask that you would comfort those who mourn, that you would clothe the naked, feed the hungry, and that you would tend the sick. Bring peace to places of violence in the world and justice for those who suffer oppression of any kind. And Lord, make us your hands of love and your hands of healing so that we might truly do your work in the world. God, all of this we ask, trusting in your promise to hear us and answer our prayers by the grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. We sing our closing hymn, hymn 500, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Hymn 500. Go now in peace, together forgiven and freed to be the body of Christ. In the name of God, our Creator, Jesus, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, who makes us one.